When I was 25 years old, I was in the UK, and I was pretty down because the way my life had turned out is not the way I wanted it to turn out. When I was a teenager, my heart's desire was to actually go to a massive Bible college like Oral Roberts in America or, you know, Rodney Howard Brown's in Tampa, Florida, and I'd applied, and I'd really wanted to go to Bible college, and I really wanted to serve in a church somewhere. That was my heart's desire and my dream in life. And it was sort of going that way because I joined a Christian school as a PE teacher, and I was able to spread the gospel and minister to these children. I had free reign, so I could have done worship in the class every day if I wanted. And it was a great ministry, and I was doing Bible college as well in South Africa because that's just the door that opened for me. And after a year of Bible college, my parents threw the news on me that they were going to England to open a church. And I was like, no, this is not my plan. This is not what I wanted. I've got a plan. Don't mess it up now. And I had to spend a lot of time praying about it. And I thought, well, you know what? I can still work my plan out a little bit because I can do Bible college when I get to England and I'll be establishing a church with my parents. So that's great. But, you know, when I got here, I obviously needed to find a job. I couldn't live off them. And so God took me in a way that I didn't expect. And my first job was actually working for a bank. I tried to apply for different Christian organizations within the UK, but it just, everything fell through. Every Bible college, every conversation had fallen through, and God had brought me to a bank. And so when I was 25, I'd been about 5 years in the UK, and I was like, Lord, this is not my plan. I'm not happy. So I went to a conference in London. It was a Chris Tomlin conference. He does these youth ones every year called Passion. And he does it with a guy called Louis Giglio. And God spoke to me like you cannot believe. And I'm gonna read what Louis Giglio said that night. I need to turn this on. Okay. All right. I'm going to read what Louis Giglio said, and it absolutely changed my life. So he said, life is like a movie, and we see a finished picture that is polished and perfect with no errors and amazing music soundtracks. All the actors and actresses look polished and say their lines with the correct emotion at the correct time. However, when people watch the film, they forget about the hours of practice and the sacrifices the actors and actresses made. They forget about the hours of music that were played to get a perfect musical note together for a particular scene. They forget about the logistics that had to be put in place for that to happen. They forget about the marketing and the cost of making the film. They don't notice the supporting actors and overlook the amount of effort and time gone into planning for this particular moment. But everyone involved were pivotal in making sure that that film came together. Louis Giglio said that life was like that, where God is the director of the history of man, and every Christian has played a part in making sure that his film of salvation is played out perfectly and without error. But the big difference is that we all get to be a part of his film. We get to play a key role in his eyes that make the whole picture of eternity come together. And if we didn't play our part, he would have to find someone else, as each role is pivotal to the kingdom of God. But the most exciting thing of all is that we get to be a part of it. And God spoke to me that night and he said, Heather, I have a role for you in my film of eternity. And you get to be a part of it. And no matter where I call you, no matter where I take you in the rest of your life, you get to be in my film. And this whole film will be played out for eternity. So with that in mind, that story in mind, let's look at Acts. Favorite story in Acts. Acts 8. It is the story of Philip. Philip's not really mentioned as much as the other disciples. He's kind of mentioned a few times, but I think God just threw this in here because he thought it was cool. So I'm going to pick it up from verse 26. Okay. So, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake his chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb beyond its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And the eunuch answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went his way rejoicing. What a cool story. Love that. And you know what's quite interesting is I thought of the story from a different perspective. Usually we always think of it from the perspective of the eunuch and how he got saved and how great it was. But I want you to think of it from the perspective of Philip. An angel told him to walk into the desert, right? He didn't give him a map. He just said, "I want you to go towards Gaza. That's it, just walk." It doesn't make mention that Philip had any supplies. He was just told to go, and so he did. There's no other instructions given. It's not like that he was led to like an oasis in the desert where he could just chill for a couple hours. He was led to a place that was dry and dead, and he went with no questions asked. And the thing is, I want you to think about your life and your timeline of your life from as far back as you can remember until now. And think about all the places that you've gone to in your life, the different places you've been led. Sometimes they've been great, and sometimes they've been so full of life, but other times they've been quite dry and dead, I found. See, there's no indication of how long Philip was in this desert before the eunuch came by. We don't know. Maybe it was 5 minutes, maybe it was a day. We don't know. But what if he missed that God moment because he wasn't comfortable in his environment? Imagine if he turned back after a little while and was like, "Psh, I'm not going in this desert anymore, man. It's hot, it's dry." What happens if he missed that moment? What if he was so consumed in that moment with his own uncomfortableness that he didn't even notice the chariot going past? Or what if at that moment when the Spirit of God said to him, "I want you to run past that chariot," Philip was like, "Oh, really? So far, I just can't be bothered." Imagine what would have happened. And what's quite interesting about this eunuch, you know, we don't know what happened to him afterwards. We have no idea. But he was a man of authority, and he had access to the highest authority in the whole of Africa at the time. And it's very possible that this eunuch brought the gospel into Africa. We don't know. But imagine if Philip missed his moment. Imagine if he missed his destiny. What about us when we find ourselves in environments that we're not the most comfortable, the most exciting in our lives? Are we constantly missing God moments that we could have? There's one more story I want to share, and I really felt prompted to share this. And Jane mentioned it 2 weeks ago when she preached. I've just finished the biography of Corrie ten Boom. And she was, and I'm just going to touch on it again. I know Jane shared it, but I'm just going to say it quickly again. She was the first female watchmaker in the Netherlands. She was a Jew, and she loved Jesus with all her heart. Her dad had brought her up as a Christian woman, her and her sister Betsy, and they lived for Christ in everything they did. And the war happened, and she was very convicted, and she wanted to really help. And so she joined the Dutch Rebellion, which was a group of people trying to help the Jews. And what she did is she built a secret room in her house with a fake wall, and she hid Jews there. Simple as that. Okay. And one day, her and her sister were caught. They were betrayed, and they got caught. And they got sent to a concentration camp. And if you ever want to be encouraged about how God can use you, I encourage you to read her book, because it is life-changing. The first thing they wanted to do when they got to this camp was to get a Bible in there. And she prayed and said, God, please help me smuggle this Bible in, because they were obviously told to give up all their possessions. They even had to give up all their clothes and change their clothes. And somehow, in the chaos of everything, she was able to hide a Bible underneath her prison clothes, and she got through. And her sister used to say to her, we need to give God thanks for everything in this environment, everything that... And Corey at one point wrote in her book that she didn't know how to give thanks to God. And her sister said, well, we can thank God that we've got a Bible. And we can thank God that the guards don't really watch us. You see, the guards were avoiding their rooms because there were lots of fleas in their rooms. So they were avoiding them. Sorry, that's a picture of her. And sadly, Betsy, her sister, died in the camp. But I'll tell you now, Corrie ten Boom, what she did when her sister died is she made every endeavor to do everything she can to make every moment while she was there a God moment. So there are examples of when they would line up since 4 a.m. in the morning and go for roll call. And what she would do, she would just stand there and she would witness to all the girls, all the ladies around her. She'd say, do you know what? Jesus loves you. Did you know that even in this place there is hope? Even did you know that there is a plan for you? And she led so many people to Christ. It was amazing, her story. And just as she actually got released by accident, she wasn't supposed to be, but she got released. And she said the last place she went to before she got released was a medical center where she had to be screened for a few days. I think it was actually a week, I'm not sure. And she said this was the most horrific place for her because there were women dying and there were women in pain. And she knew she was going to be released, but she said, God, what can I do here for you? And the only thing she found she could do was that in the middle of the night when the woman couldn't go to the bathroom, she'd go and find bedpans within the medical room and bring them to the ladies so that, you know, they could get some relief. And when she left that concentration camp, she went and did great things for God. She said this, the measure of a life, after all, is not its duration, but its donation. Tonight, you may be in a place where you don't understand why you are there, where the environment is not what you had planned. I wanted to be in ministry when I was younger, and God told me, Heather, you are in ministry. You are every day, in every moment, and I'm wanting to use you. You don't need a mic. You don't need a platform. You don't need a church building to be used by God. You need a heart that is willing to go everywhere he asks you to go. This famous scripture we read in Matthew 5, verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So whatever God has called you to do, do it with all your might. Because one day you will give an account for what you've done. If God has called you to be an accountant or a dancer or a teacher or a cleaner or a doctor or a housewife, a parent, a husband, a wife, do it as if you were working directly for Jesus. Why? Because God is searching for those who will be a light in this world in every moment, in every situation. You were made to glorify God. I encourage you not to let fear or insecurity stop you from saying yes to the call of God in your life. If something convicts you or creates passion or stirs in you, go for it. Lord, forgive us when we didn't think what you had called us to was enough. We missed God moments you had preordained for us to step into because of our insecurities, our fears. Philippians 2 verse 13 says this. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. When I stand before God one day and give an account of my life, I want to be able to hear those famous words, which are, well done, good and faithful servant. And what does it mean to be a servant? Our first reaction to servanthood in our modern culture is obviously serving in a church, giving tithes and offerings, attending church, helping out in charities, feeding the poor. Those are all good. However, I think it goes much deeper than this. Philip depicts the character of servanthood, and it was simply taking where God had led him and using that moment to serve him. So how do we do that in our lives? When we're driving to work, we could change that into a God moment rather than an angry moment. When we're at work and people are talking to us, many times we don't care about their issues because we're so focused on our work that we forget that people are in desperate need for God. They want God. They are crying out for hope. When we go to our gym classes and people try and talk to us, usually I'm like, oh, leave me alone. I'm busy. But that could be a God moment. When we're at home with our families and we're too irritable to talk to them, we are missing our God moments. God says that we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I found recently that my own problems in life have made me look inward and looking at my own problems and my own battlefields. And I've not bothered to look at the battlefields others are facing around me. And this all ties in with the I am not ashamed theme, because the disciples lived their lives as if they were creating the masterpiece of God's eternal plan. There's one more perspective to this. You know, I've said that we could easily miss God moments with people around us and things that God has called us to do in our calling in life and our destiny. But God also wants to be a part of our lives as well. Why? Because he loves us and he wants fellowship with us. His whole plan of creation was so that he could have a family that would love him and serve him. And how many moments have we missed with God because we were not there? We were not in the moment. How many times have we been in worship and we've forgotten the words because we're thinking about all our problems in life? We're missing moments with God. How many moments have we missed because we are too busy or distracted? You know, and it was quite interesting what Ali said before. It really tied in with this, that we become so busy with our lives and so distracted. To even stop and say, God, I'm thinking of you. I love you. You know, and I fall short of this because I'm an incredibly scheduled person. So God has a time slot in my day. He does. And sometimes I'm like, okay, Lord, your 30 minutes are up. I'll see you later. But God's wanting a moment. I'm not saying you have to spend every, you know, it's 8 hours with the Lord every day, but he's looking for moments. And so many times I've been in worship. He wants to meet with you, but he wants us to want to meet with him as well. You know, Simon shared a message that really has stuck with me months ago. I can't even remember what topic we were doing. And he said, all he wants is your heart. How he would love us to get up every day and say, morning, Lord, I love you. I need you today. Use me in any way you want to use me. Help me to see the needs of others and have courage to have God moments. But please also don't let me go through my day alone. I want you in my thoughts, in my speech, in my actions today. Louis Giglio said this as well. He said, if you can see that, it's a bit small. He said, God is always seeking you. Every sunset, every blue sky, every ocean wave, the starry hosts of the night, he blankets each new day with the invitation, I am here. I want to ask the band to come back up now, if that's okay. And I just want to challenge you with some questions tonight. And myself as well, because this is what God has been telling me. He says, am I willing tonight to change my focus from going, going, going to being, being, being? In other words, am I willing to start looking for him? From the beauty of his creation to his magnificence in the heavens to a peaceful moment when it's just you and him. Are you willing to start giving up the busyness of your life and drive for success to notice his call? Are you willing tonight to walk into a desert with no prospects of the future because he just asked you to? Only you can answer those questions tonight. I'm going to pray. Father God, forgive us when we've become too busy, where we have missed the moments that you have preordained for us to step into. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes, that we'd start seeing the needs around us. I pray, Father, that you would quieten us, that we would be able to connect with you, and we wouldn't miss moments with you, Lord. I pray, Father, that we'd become a church that is more aware of you everywhere we go. I pray that we'd be a church that welcomes you into our days and into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. There's one more thing I just wanted to quickly say before I left, because I told the Lord that I would. And just to explain how he can just be a part of your everyday. About a week ago, I lost my driver's license. And today, actually at about 3 o'clock, I was practicing this message. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I really need to find my driver's license. And I said, I know you love me. And I know that you've got a plan for me. And I know there's going to be a hassle for me to get a new one. So please, Lord, help me find it. And as I was about to leave, I was getting my shoes on. The Lord prompted me to go in and look in a particular place. Now remember, I've looked everywhere. And I found it. And the thing is, he's so interested in the very small details of your life. He's so interested in being part of your moments. So I encourage you to let him. Thank you.